are God's creation. He created us to praise and worship Him, not only on Sundays, but to worship and praise Him in our lives every day. By so saying, I'm welcoming you into the house of the Lord. You as a church coming to worship in the house of the Lord, because this is not a church, you are the church. Amen.
In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
May the Lord rejoice in all his ways.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praise to my God while I have been.
May my meditation be pleasing to him. For I rejoice in the Lord.
Come, let us all worship God. Amen. We're going to have our hymn from our hymn book. Come, Holy Ghost, our soul inspire. As you are preparing yourself to sing that hymn, let us close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, the creator of heaven and earth, our God who never sleep nor slumber, you who promise us that you shall never leave us nor forsake us, you said in your word in Isaiah 43 verse 2 to 3, you said, the waters will never overpower us. Even though we walk through the fire will not burn us, because you are with us. When you read your word in Psalm 91, verse 7, you said, thousands will fall by my side, and 10,000 will fall by my right hand side, but no destruction will come near my tent. Father, we are living in times where we experience a lot of pain, a lot of confusion, where we are losing our loved ones and those who are very close to us. We are fearful, O Lord, but you promise us in a way that we should not fear, because you are with us. Clothe us with faith, Heavenly Father, because you said in your word, in Matthew 17, that even if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, when you say to this mountain, move, it shall be moved. Father, we depend on you, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit that is given unto us. As we are experiencing this Pentecost, Father, you have promised us the Holy Spirit that you will pour it upon us. It will be our comforter, our counselor. It will be our teacher who reminds us all that you taught us while you were with us. We thank you, Father, for the message that you are going to receive today through your servant. Bless each and every word that is going to come out of the mouth of our servant. To know, Heavenly Father, that you are God who is with us. You are God who is amongst us. You are God who leads us. You are God who walks with us in all areas of our lives. Be with our family members. Be with our children, Heavenly Father, and bless each and everyone who is coming to this church today, everyone who is going to attend the service today, and everyone who is present here, Heavenly Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we must experience your presence in our lives and we must change the direction of our lives. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are with our Reverend Craig Morrison, wherever he is. Continue to bless him with the family. We thank you, Father, in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have our hymn.
I'm going to sing a hymn now.
Yes. We're going to sing our hymn. ministry, well known to many from the previous churches. I'll try, I think you'll know this one. It read thus, O Lord, how manifold are your ways. In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wise. which teems with creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships, the leviathans which you formed to play in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you find your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created. When you send forth your spirit, they are created and renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his word. Who looks on earth and it trembles? Who touches the mountains and they smoke? I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have been. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. This is the word of God. We are going to have our hymn, our sweet hymn, that is breath on me, breath, O God. That is 2:2:6.
Apply your words first, and you will now be God.
Just to pray in your heart silently, to ask God to strengthen us, to clothe us with the power as his followers, to be with us during this difficult time that we are facing. We've heard that Gauteng has hit the third wave, has been hit by the third wave already, and that is giving us a shock wave. We don't know whether schools are going to be closed. We don't know whether we're going to have a lockdown, but God knows what is going to happen. Can we pray silently? Father, have mercy on us. Amen. Our second scripture is from Acts. That is where we're going to get our message today. It will be based on Acts 2, verse 1 and 2, 8. The message that you're going to receive today, it's from Acts 2, verse 1 up to 8. I'm also reading it from Global Study Bible.
Can hear me? Okay. There's a problem even. Okay. Thanks. Can you, as I'm reading, can you move this for me? Thank you. Because I can't see. This is Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 1 up to 8. The coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as the fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speaking in their own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of us in his own native language?" Amen. Let's pray for the word as we are going to receive the message from our preacher today. Brother Patrick is the one who's going to share the message with us this day. Let us pray for the word. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful word that comes from you. Open our eyes and open our ears, open our hearts so that we receive this message that is sent to us through Brother Patrick. Clothe him with your power, Heavenly Father, as he shares the message this morning.
We thank you, Father, for this message, and blessed in every one of us. Amen. Brother Patrick, this is the time to tell us what God has said to you.
Good morning to you all. In my Xhosa culture, when you have to compliment somebody who's good looking, you call them Usisi.
Thank you.
My name is Patrick. I come from Centurion West under Reverend Wayne Van Yerken. Before we go any further, please allow me to connect with my Almighty. The words that come out of my mouth, the movement of my body, the thoughts within me, let all these things be allowed and controlled by you. Amen.
Amen.
Today I've read a number of scriptures before coming here. And I was kind of scared because when you deal with the word of God, I was told that you mustn't take it lightly. However, one of the things I would like to share with you, because Reverend Morrison has always been preaching to you, but my job is to kind of talk to you, to have a chat with you about the word of God. That is why I would like to talk about the new life through the Spirit of God. Let me greet the session of St. Columbus. Let me greet Reverend Wayne in his absence. I mean Reverend Morrison, sorry, in his absence. I greet you, all of you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
At the same time, I hope that you all had a better and safer week, because since last week, Sunday, a lot has happened in your lives. That is why some of us are here today. Then allow me to talk to you about the Pentecost, because today is the Pentecost Sunday. I've heard a number of preachers preach about Pentecost Sunday. I've heard a number of ministers preach about it. But little did I know the significance of the day itself. Indeed, we have a third holiday. It is a holiday, the Pentecost Sunday. It's a third observance. It's the third sacred event that is central to our understanding of what it means to be a Christian and what it means to belong to the church. Though most people, they kind of don't know, or they kind of forget what Pentecost is all about. I'm specifically talking about Pentecost Sunday. It is the third greatest day in the Christian calendar, which is rooted in the story of the Act 2. And it also celebrates the day when the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples who were gathered in the room in the Jerusalem. That is the first element of the Pentecost Sunday. What has our experience been as a Christian about Pentecost Sunday? Have you changed anything? Have you seen any change? Have you noticed anything about the Pentecost in all the years that you've lived? Probably yes, probably not. But before Pentecost, these disciples were hiding from the public domain. They were hiding because they were kind of scared as to what happened to Jesus before. Because remember, most of their lives, or during this time when they were disciples of Jesus, they saw what happened to Jesus, and they saw what happened to Jesus in Jerusalem. So they are now back in the same city, so they kind of hiding from the public because they scared of what had happened. Yet, after Pentecost, these fighting disciples become suddenly and miraculously equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit to carry out the ministry which Jesus began. This was the very same city in Jerusalem where Jesus recently had been put to death. So imagine you coming back to a place where your leader or somebody you know of was killed before your eyes. So these people now are coming back to this city to kind of revive themselves, to kind of pray together, to kind of find a way as to how do they move from this position which they find themselves. Now, they are at this position now where they need to find themselves. Have a picture in what I'm trying to say as to whatever has happened in your life, whatever obstacle has happened in your life, where you find yourself back to the square one where you were before, where people were criticizing, where people were insulting you, but then you have to move on. This is a similar situation that these people find themselves in. Some people mistakenly observe the Pentecost to them as a meaning for those Christian family members who call themselves Pentecostals. The truth about the history of Christian church scratches like 2,000 years back, while Pentecost movement did not exist until the late 20th century. By that I mean, you have some people who want to institutionalize things, wherein they formulated a movement about Pentecost, where they would sit and look at the liturgy, the politics, the language of Pentecost itself, which was unnecessary to those people who believe in God. Because all you need as a person is the presence and the feeling that you have with God, the communication that you as an individual have with God. When hard times hit you, respectively as you are, you do not need somebody who's gonna have a red pen to correct your language, to correct your political understanding. All you need at that present moment is the presence of God. That is what the difference between that movement and Pentecostal is. Pentecost Sunday is 1,900 years older than those Christians who call themselves Pentecostals. In other words, observing the day of Pentecost is no more position of the Pentecostals than observing baptism. That is why baptism is not the position of any other person who calls themselves Baptist. You get people where they proclaim and they claim the word Pentecostal and they call themselves Pentecostals. You get people who proclaim and claim the name baptism and they call themselves Baptists. It is not our duty as Presbyterians to point fingers at those people, but our duty is to recognize as to where do we belong, where does Jesus fit in our lives. That is the point of us remembering what Pentecostal is all about. Does any one of you remember the literal meaning of Pentecostal? If you do, you've drawn a line, because you have a day of tomorrow, because you remember that. The word Pentecostal literally means the 50th day. And all of this is based on the Jewish calendar and the Jewish tradition. But Pentecostal was the time where these Jews celebrated their first harvest of the agricultural year. It was also the same time where they gave thanks to God for what the land had produced for them and for their hard labor. What I simply mean is, it's similarly to what you've been through, where you wake up every morning and go to work. But back then, they used to do agricultural labor. So these people saw it fit for them to take time, for them to make an effort to give thanks to God for what God has done for them. Not only that, they also make time to give thanks to God because of their hard labor. Most of you looking at you, you have your own kids. It's the same as you take your own time to give thanks to these beautiful kids which you've raised. Whether they're yours or they're not yours, whether they're your sisters or your brother, but you've had a hand in these kids where you brought them up. You spend your money, you spend your time and energy. It is then that space of time where you sit yourself in a room or somewhere else, you just say, thank you, God, for being with me all these years. That is the similarity and the same thing that these people are doing. Even if you're not talking about kids, where you find yourself in a room or somewhere else, you say, thank you, God, for blessing me and protecting me all these years. That is what Pentecostal is about. You give thanks to God for whatever you have, for whatever you've been through. I remember a lady once where I came to Tuamishu for the first time. She was crying very hard and she was literally on her knees about her son who was addicted to drugs. That is the kind of Pentecost I'm talking about. Where after 2 years, that same lady came to church and gave thanks to God because his son has now been revived. Whether we're talking about monetary value or whether we're talking about what you've been through, whether it was an advice, whether it was your efforts of building the same church where you were at, you need to give thanks to God for that. For Christians, Pentecost marks the birthday of Christian church. The day when Peter preached in response to what was happening. But then, when Peter was preaching, he managed and he was able to save 3,000 people who were not Christians before. This, you would find it in Acts 2, chapter 2. It is with interest that the same Peter that I'm talking about 53 days ago, he said, and he actually denied Jesus. When they asked him about Jesus, he said he never knew him. But now here he is. This is the same Peter when he was confronted by the mob outside. He knew nothing about Jesus. But here he is now. Peter on this day of Pentecost Sunday stood before the same crowd and the same people he once feared. Yet he boldly declared the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Peter, as if I can see him standing there in front of this crowd, he remembered the same people that he's talking to. That is the same people who were shouting and saying, crucify him. And that was during the time of Jesus Christ, before Pontius Pilate in Jerusalem. Now Peter declared in no uncertain terms that the same men that you have killed as the Jewish or as the mob that present here is actually the Son of God. You didn't know that. Him, as Peter, didn't know it either. But he had an inkling because he was the disciple. But he was trying to show them a point or to make a statement that the same guy that you've crucified is actually the Son of God. There are a number of situations in people's lives where you find yourself in a very tight corner. Where I grew up, I cannot say I was naughty, but we had a number of unnecessary fights with other kids. Now, at a certain point, when these boys wanted to assault this young man who was with me at that time, one guy stood up and said, the guy you are about to assault and maybe sent to hospital is the same guy who used to bring you food So I have that mental picture where Peter is trying to illustrate a point to these people who didn't really care what was happening and who really didn't care. But eventually they knew that the Lord exists and they knew that there was somebody called Jesus Christ. Now, having gone to all of this with Peter, and having for Peter to remind these people as to who this person is, I then asked myself, and there was an interesting question, a number of questions which came to mind, as how did Peter go from being frightened to being fearless? How did the same Peter go from being a coward to being a courageous person? And how did the same Peter go from denying Jesus into defending him before the same crowd and the same people? Because remember, when he was asked about Jesus, he shied away and he was scared. Peter did not simply change his mind, but rather he was a changed person. That is what I'm trying to explain as to whenever you've had your own faults before, you've made your own mistakes before in your life, how wonderful it is for the person or for people that know you would come and say to you, you are a changed person because of what they see and because of what they hear about you. That is the kind of a reward which is worth more than any other thing that you can get on life. So Peter was a changed person, not because he changed his mind. What had happened to these people? And what needs to happen to everyone who claims himself or herself a disciple of Jesus Christ? What happens? And that is what actually Pentecost is about. It's more about change. It's more about new things. It's more about the inner search as to what is it that you as an individual wants to achieve in life. I've seen a number of people where they are told that they are old. But some of them, they go to extremes. They obtain degrees. Some of them, they do manage to drive whenever they've never managed to drive before. So it is that time where you say to yourself, irrespective of my age, irrespective of the poverty or the circumstances that I'm facing, but change needs to take place. That is what I'm trying to explain. And then, in whatever happened to these people, the bottom line was for Peter to have changed with himself so that others would see it in him. In any of these things which happen, it is because we as Christians have acknowledged, we have embraced, and we have moved under the power and conviction of the Pentecost and the Holy Spirit. All of these things, the positive things, the good things which are happening in our lives, they happen because we allow them. They happen because we want them. They happen because we embrace them. Why can't we embrace Pentecost? Why can't we embrace Jesus Christ for what he did? Imagine somebody sacrificing his own life. Imagine somebody sacrificing his or her last cent so that you are in a better position than you were before. Jesus Christ did more than that. He gave up his life. An interesting thing which came to mind also is that if Christmas marks the birth of Jesus Christ, then Pentecost marks the birth of the church. If Easter marks the day when Jesus was raised from the dead, then Pentecost marks the day when the message about Jesus began to make its way to people and places all over the world. Remember, I spoke about a third holy day. Of course, the church and the world do not treat Pentecost as they do with Christmas and Easter. Obviously, we don't. For instance, there are no Pentecost saints. You don't find special saints about Pentecost. There are no Pentecost trees like Christmas trees. You'll never find them. There are no beauty pageants or whatever about Pentecost. And I've never even heard about Pentecostal bunnies, but they are Easter bunnies. Why is it we celebrate one and then the other we don't celebrate? The fact that we fail to understand and observe this day as Christians, and we fail to understand it as a calendar, does not change the truth about the meaning and the essence of the day itself. Unless we make a room for Pentecost, for us to understand the faith. Because what I'm trying to say to you, congregants, is that God wants us to understand the importance of the Pentecost so that we grow deeper in our faith as Christians. Remember Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 8 tells us about the disciples. Where Jesus told his disciples to remain in the city of Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came upon them. He asked them, look, whatever you do, stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. He didn't do so because, or he didn't want them to go out and evangelize on the basis of their life experiences. Because you get people who would say, whatever job that they give me, for instance, if I'm told to be a minister, where's I not? I tend to use that experience and that knowledge that I have as the basis tool, whereas I'm supposed to allow God to take over. So Jesus was saying to them, look, don't use this experience. Don't use what you know. Don't use what you understand about the law and the practices of the Jewish of that time, but rather wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Instead, he told them to wait. And that they had to wait for the anointing, wait for the Holy Spirit to come to them. Once they had that power, they would be ready to go. The simplest thing Jesus asked them is to wait. I remember when the right time came for me, as a closer young man, to go for initiation. Just like as I saw the other kids in the area, they were going for initiation, I also wanted to go. But my father and my grandfather said, look, wait, your turn will come. At that time, I didn't understand what it meant. But when we went to this initiation, and I went to this initiation with the help of my grandfather and my father and my extended family, only then I knew what it meant. So it's the same thing where you have been to a number of problems, where you have been a number of issues in your personal life. Sometimes you just need to wait. Wait for your turn. It will come to you. Remember, whatever you do and whatever you say, you did not create yourself. There's a super being on top of you. So wait for that time until it comes. It may come after 10 years, it may come after 5 years, but it will come. That is what I know about my Jesus. At the same time, Pentecost Sunday is the day when we remember when and how that anointing took place. While they all, these disciples locked themselves in the room for whatever reasons that they did that, they've heard a thunder rolling storm which appeared to be tongues of fire. And these tongues of fire settled in each and one of these disciples in that room. It was then that time when the Holy Spirit was touching them. Hence, they started speaking in tongues. Have a mental picture where you have an Afrikaner, a Venda, a Sotho, a Xhosa, and a Zulu in one room, speaking their different languages, but they understand each other. That is what was happening there. They spoke whatever they were speaking in their own language and in their own way, but they understood each other. Not because they had a special linguistic understanding, but because God was upon them and each and every one of them. It was immediately after that miracle and that understanding that something else of equal importance took place. The work of the church in the world as an agent of reconciliation and mission began. I therefore invite you to think about Easter and Christmas as events that involve Jesus Christ as the primary actor. Primary actor in the sense, Easter, we all know, is all about the death of Jesus Christ. We celebrate it. Christmas, we know, is about the birth of Jesus Christ. We all know, we celebrate it. And then there's Pentecost. On Christmas Day, Jesus was born into this world and lay in a manger. And there were no disciples there. You can read the Bible from beginning to end, there were no disciples there. What do you and I do on Christmas in central to the story? We do nothing. On the Easter, the same happens. There were no disciples involved in bringing that event to pass. There is nothing for us to do on Easter except to celebrate and give thanks for the work Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. On Pentecost, though, all that changes. You and I, we are called away from our roles as spectators into the role of central characters in God's work, redemption and salvation. What that means is, it is time that we are called as to become physically active in the word and the life of Jesus Christ. How do we do that? You do not only talk about Jesus Christ. You exercise a number of things in your life which will suit your lifestyle and in which a number of people will see it in you. Whether you're playing an organ, because that is preaching on yourself. Whether you're playing whatever music, whether you're painting, that is the involvement that is needed for you to show other people as to what the Christian life is all about. Once again, looking at this gorgeous young ladies in front of you, you remember when you look at your age, when you look at what you've been through, what is the fundamental thing that stands out for you? It is because Jesus has protected you, God has protected you all these years. Now the same with the young person, where they find themselves in a modern society with a lot of drugs, with a lot of violence, and now again with this COVID-19, but you're still alive, here we are. What do we give thanks to? To God. Because a number of people that you know of have died. A number of your friends, a number of the people living in your area have died, and yet you still here are. The only thing that you can do is just give thanks to God. Maybe your time is coming, maybe it's not coming, but at the same moment, at this very moment, it is your prerogative right to say thank you, God, for being alive. That is all. And God will do the rest. From time to time, Jesus' disciples have learned a number of things. It is time to carry this message forth. And Jesus' disciples, like ourselves, we're no longer spectators. We shouldn't always be spectators. I've seen a number of church people, especially Presbyterians, they would claim that they've been in this church for so many years. But when you ask them to do maybe a simple prayer or whatever which has to do with the Presbyterian life, they would say they don't know. Why? Because they've been spectators all these years. It is time that you and I, we no longer spectators. We become involved, we become active. We become what God has wanted us to be in the first place. There are times when and if the Holy Spirit touches you, where you go around, maybe you go to the shops singing and praising God, people will think you're crazy. They do not know what you're feeling. They do not know what has happened to you. You, only you know what has happened to you. You and only you know that God has touched your life. I've seen a number of people where they go to bed without knowing what they will eat tomorrow, but they find something. I'm talking about that kind of a person where they find something. And some people, some young people, they want to go to school, but they can't because they don't have money. But for some reason, money surfaces in somewhere else. Maybe they threw an uncle, maybe to somebody else, but they managed to go to school. I'm talking about such instances. And some people don't even have clothes or shoes, but for some reason, they managed to get them. So such events in people's life, when you glorify them, when you praise them, other people see you as crazy. But you know, you were interacting with your own God. There are some places and some institutions that have become so structured and organized, where you find yourself that, or you find that there's no room for spirituality in this person. Because whatever they do, especially in some Presbyterians, they like to formalize things. They don't want to allow God to take over. If you talk about a specific thing to some Presbyterians, they will immediately jump up and say, point of order. Rather than allowing for God to do whatever God wants to do in their life. Pentecost is more about the Holy Spirit entering our lives. Pentecost is more about us becoming more involved, actively involved in our Christian lives. I'd like to leave you with this, that it is about time for us as individuals to leave the past behind. If so-and-so has hurt you before, if so-and-so has insulted you, swore at you, hit you, it is about time to leave that behind. Why? Because Pentecost is more about continuity. Continuity in the sense that the Holy Spirit now is within yourself and within your life. You then need to show the outside world as to how wonderful God is. What has God done for you? It is about that change. You don't have to give reasons. You don't owe anybody clarity. But yourself has to say as to why you glorify God. It's that simple. That is why Pentecostal is more about continuity. Finally, let us know that today brings the new life for the church, new life for us as individuals, and new life for the church, all our branches, just like St. Columbus. No one present here today is excluded from this display of God's grace. No one, all of you are included. I invite you, therefore, to celebrate this third holiday of Christian faith, which is Pentecost. I invite you to open your heart to receive the Holy Spirit. You may not always sound and look dignified to other people, but to God you are. You may not always sound dignified and good-looking to others, but to me, it's all right. Because God created you that way. I am going to, when God says shout, I'm going to shout. When the Spirit moves me, I'm going to dance. I'm going to do whatever it is that God wants me. Because every time I feel the Spirit of the Lord moving in my heart, I do pray, every time, because I know it. As Peter Dean, I've been through a lot in my life, and there's a lot that I'm thankful for. But most of all, I'm very grateful that I am a Christian, and I'm a Presbyterian. Because a number of people that I grew up with, they still can't believe to me that I'm a Christian. Yes, I was naughty. Yes, I was violent. Because there's nothing I don't like in life more than a bully. I don't like a bully. That is where, when I was growing up, I used to fight for others. And a number of people that I grew up with, they still expect me to act that way. And yet, I change. I'm not that person. The only defense I bring is that God is alive. So in each and every one of you, God is alive. You've made it this far. Celebrate. You've been protected this far. Hallelujah. Give grace to God because you are alive. Give grace to God because the Holy Spirit is within you. You don't have to go to a specific a church to witness God. You are here. You being here alone bears testimony to what I'm trying to say. May the preaching of this word of God find peace and blessing in each and every one of you. Remember, only Jesus is the word of God, nobody else. Amen. Let us pray. You've protected me, God, through a number of things. You've been my shield, you've been my armor. As I stand before this congregation, I have a family. I pray as I stand here for that family. I pray for my kids, I pray for my wife. Most of all, I pray for this congregation. These are the people, God, who woke up this early, cold as it is. It is not because they don't have anything to do. It is not because they can't do anything else, but they saw it fit to come and praise you. For that, I thank you on their behalf. Be with the mothers of this congregation. Be with the young people of this congregation. Be with them all, protect them, guide them, and always show them your love. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We thank God, Brother Patrick, for the wonderful message that you brought to us this day. We are given power to minister to the world. We are empowered, we are capacitated, we are given a third force that will drive us to preach the way of God. We are renewed. We are given a new strategy in terms of how to go about preaching the word. May the good Lord bless you, Brother Patrick, and keep you till the end. Saints, Reverend Craig Morrison expected us to interact with the sermon and tell us what is that that you have learned and so on. But because of time, we're not going to do that. I will tell him that we couldn't do it. So we will bless the offerings and let us bless the offerings. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of mercy, before your throne of grace, with thanksgiving in our hearts, presenting the gifts that comes from your children, your people, who are called by your name, and who are called by you. Heavenly Father, they have given from the bottom of their hearts, from their cheerful hearts, they have given. Bless them abundantly, bless where this money comes from and multiply it. Have mercy, Father, on those that are unable to give, not because they don't want, but because they don't have. Bless them, Heavenly Father, that tomorrow they must be able to also thank you for the blessings that they have received.
as we put this before you, Father, we know that you will cover this fruit, that it will bear fruit in the house of the Lord, and your work will continue to the end of the world. We thank you, Father, in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are going to bless Africa, saying, we are going to sing God Bless Africa, and then we will have our E, which is not numbered. It says one more step. I don't know whether you've got the number for that. One more step. So we call the E. Can we sing God Bless Africa?